Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're super natural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
Hey everyone, and just a quick heads up, I am bringing a bookish comedy show to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival from March 23rd to April 4th. I host the show, and every night I get on three different comedians doing all of their most book-themed material. I've done it all around Australia and in the UK, and it's been a lot of fun every time. And if you're interested, you can grab tickets at comedyfestival.com.au. I would love to see you there.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's happiest podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George Demarais. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. Today on the show, we have German comedian Maren Whittaker. How you doing, Maren?
Hey George, I'm good. How are you?
I'm not bad. You know, German comedian does sound much fancier than comedian.
Yeah. I usually add it because, you know, it's for the extra spice.
it works. Everyone's like, oh yeah, comedian. I've heard of being those German comedian.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't sit right with you. And you're like, wait, what?
That is true. People say that. You know, we discussed off before the pod how I feel like Germans get misrepresented sometimes. And I think that's part of like doing comedy because everyone always goes to the most obvious joke. You just see it done so many times that you just get kind of bored of it. And like the one of Germans being not funny. Oh, funny German? No. But then you're like, man, I know a lot of successful German comedians who are ultra talented because.
Really?
Don't you know what's his name? In England, he's super popular in the UK. He sells out Edinburgh every year. Henning Wen.
I don't think I know him. Like I checked out the German comedians that are on the Netflix special for Germany.
How were they?
Yeah, they were okay.
Not good.
They did have to do comedy in German, so I wouldn't know how to do that, right? So,
what, as in like the language doesn't
lend itself
to comedy?
It's just like, how do you build, like, become familiar with your audience when you speak German? I don't know. Like, how do you build that, you know, the connection that you need to...
What do you mean? What, the German language doesn't let you build connections?
No, it's just, you know, you're just very straightforward. Like, in German, you know, when we meet someone, we don't ask, how are you? Unless we like actually like, hey, how are you going? No, I mean like, how are you? Like, tell me.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Otherwise, it's just, hello.
Yeah.
Where are you going today? It is 3:07 p.m.
It is actually like that. It's really hard. I was like, kind of forgot how to be nice in German.
This is the most damning statement of Germans ever. Look, I'm liking them more than you.
Yeah.
I love Germans. You're the best.
You're defending them. No, they're very friendly. If you don't know, if you're like lost, if you need direction, they're so nice.
It's such a specific thing, yeah. Because the other thing is because there's two things for me with the German comedy. Firstly, Berlin is like one of the better known comedy cities of Europe. So it's one of the bigger, like more known established like comedy places because it's just Berlin. I think it's everything there. But also, this is me doing my stereotypes. But basically, Germans are very technically skilled and very efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
So if one of them decides to be a comedian, you better believe he's going to be refining and getting every word straight and bringing the German efficiency to comedy is kind of how I view it. Yeah,
that'll be me then, right?
Is it though? I don't know.
I'm trying really hard. But Germans are really into slam poetry. I figured that out. which I don't think I could.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. There's like, you know, there's like a lot. I know people that go like, you know, state levels and all their friends go like, what?
What? In Germany?
Yeah.
State level.
Yeah, it'd be like, I guess like maybe raw comedy. You know, if you get really far, then you get to the German International Slam Poetry Festival. I don't know.
I love the fact that there's a German International Slam.
No,
poetry.
I did.
But there is now. We are claiming it. But what is is that in German?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there's a very easy joke there about how much more slammy German slam poetry would be than English just because of the language.
I can see that. Yeah, it would be that. Yeah.
Whoa, man, I am getting slammed by this poetry.
Yeah, that is true. You're just forgetting that for Germans, German is just German, right? Like.
Yes. I know. I
yeah.
Okay, you've made me sound like I'm drawing stereotypes now. Okay. I was just riffing on the joke. Yeah. No, you're right. But you're saying that. But don't even Germans appreciate that maybe, which again, it is different for different people in Germany. Like, as in, I think that's the other misleading thing. Everyone pictures German as one thing, which is like the yelling, sort of fiery speeches for some reason. Don't know why. But then there's lots of different types. There's especially I think females speaking German can be like a whole different representation compared to the angry man delivering a angry speech, which everyone kind of pictures German as.
Yeah.
But surely you like hear the sharpness even.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can hear the sharpness.
Yeah, even if you're from there.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, this is.
But you're obviously used to it.
Yeah.
You know, the throatiness.
Yeah, I guess. And like, I mean, because you don't know, because even I speak Greek. And I'm like, what does this sound like?
Yeah.
To other people? I don't know. Like, does it sound friendly? Like, because you're hearing the words. You know what? I'm switching. You're right. I judged, but I'm here to grow.
Yeah.
So what am I talking about? Nothing. That's it. But no, Germany's a bit, just the shape of the words. That can be a bit.
Yeah. And I do think like I've tried to write jokes about certain German words before and then I always have to ask someone like, what does that sound like for you? Because I just don't know. Firstly, obviously, you know the meaning of the word, but then you're also like, what does that sound like to someone, you know, that doesn't speak German? I want to know. I want to make this funny.
It's true.
That's actually so fun if you start translating sayings into like a different language, but it's not really suitable for, you know, stand-up comedy because you have to understand both sides. But if you get together with your friends and just translate sayings back and forth between two languages.
I'll be honest, it's classic comedy. Yep. That is classic. Everyone does something like that. Like, I mean, and Germans have a lot of animal-based phrases, like where is the bear dancing?
Oh, really? I always thought there's a lot of sausage-based sayings, which is it's ridiculous. Let's not talk about that.
It's very on brand.
We can't do more stereotypes. I feel like we covered the stereotypes.
Well, we've broken down some. We've added to others. That's a nice way to do it, I think. That's what interactions are about.
Yeah, true.
But so to give people some background on you, you're German, but clearly.
Clearly?
It's like, what? but you've been here in Australia for 11 years.
Yep, that's right.
Were you in Germany before then?
Yep.
Because it was a straight move here. Was it with family?
No, I came when I was 18 as a backpacker. I lived in Queensland for like 7 years and then moved to Melbourne 3 years ago.
Okay.
All by myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a long time in Queensland, but it wasn't just Queensland. You were up north, right, in the
you're
talking about the Torres Strait Islands.
Yep. Which
you're actually the second guest I've had on here.
I saw that too.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Torres Strait Islands represent.
It's cool.
Because what was it like?
It was amazing. My ex is Australian, so that's why I ended up there. Otherwise, I probably would have never, you know, gotten to there because it's quite, you know, it's expensive to fly up there. It's not like touristy, but it was amazing. It was just so, so stunning. Like, I'm super, super glad that, I got to see that. But Australia, I think it's very similar in the mentality to Germans in some way. So I can feel at home. Yeah. Like, obviously, there's differences that, like we just talked about, but there's a lot of similarities as well. Maybe the, you know, you say, oh, Australians love a rule. I can see myself in that, you know, as a German.
Australians do love, they do love their rules. It's true.
Yeah.
It's a, I've got a running theory that maybe it does tie back to our convict origins, but people don't like to hear that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's a big part of it. It's what makes us Australian is our convict history. But, yeah, people sometimes don't like to think about that sort of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but I think theories like that are important, you know. Maybe, do you have one on Germans as well?
No, I don't know. I actually don't have any. Yeah. Why they are the way they are, but, yeah. Although the fact that they were landlocked, like sort of, I think, I don't know, I wonder how much that impacts how people's mentalities as well. You know, if you don't have a beach to chill out on ever, I feel like you're going to be high strung.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I was trying to say earlier, you know, that we do have beaches, but only at the north, on the north, in the north, in the north. And obviously most of the time it's too cold to go there.
Hmm.
So everyone's just so stressed all the time. Where if you go to Germany or Europe in summer, it's so nice because it's not like if you get nice weather, everyone's really happy. But the other 10 months of the year, everyone's just at each other's throat.
It's good healthcare though.
Yep.
And cheap university and 5 weeks annual leave.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing ever. I love that. That's so much annual leave.
Yeah. Parental leave is also like ridiculously good.
Yeah. That's what a place.
Yeah.
Let's all move to Germany.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing here?
In this shithole, yeah. So, okay, actually part of that, so you moved here backpacking. Did you go anywhere else around the world as well?
No.
No? Oh, my God. You just went to, like, another white country that's got sun and beaches and just stayed there.
Pretty basic. I was going to stay for 6 months and then travel more. But then I met my ex in that time, so that's probably the main reason I stayed, which makes it a little bit less basic, maybe, hopefully. But yeah, then just kind of stayed.
Traveling girl finds boyfriend in foreign location. I don't know. I got to be honest.
Okay.
It's not sounding that not basic, to be honest.
Right. I was just really happy. And like, I am, you know, I'm definitely a person that likes to settle as well. So
I love that hearing this because it's like such a different experience again, like to just leave and then it's playing it so by ear. So obviously when you met the guy, you were 18.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious already.
Yeah.
It's such a big decision. But then he was just like, hey, let's hang out. And then you were like,
all right.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. But yeah, that's basically what happened. And then kind of just, I do really like it here. Hey.
Did you add in an A to sound more Australian? Is that what you just did? Are you trying to trick us?
I didn't notice I did that until recently. Someone pointed it out. I think it's maybe a Queensland thing, is it? Because I do that a bit.
Yeah, yeah, nuts. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I do.
The joy of answering an easy question.
Yes.
Younger or older?
They're both older. I have a brother and a sister.
How much older?
4 and 7 years.
Did they ever bully you?
No, that's all. I'm still very disappointed with that. That they didn't really do that because obviously I was the youngest and if they tried, I would just cry and then that would work so well that they actually stopped doing it.
Were you running away from, not running away, but when you left Germany, was there any reason to go back?
I was definitely running away.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, yeah.
From a relationship?
No, from just Germany in general.
I do meet a few people actually who are like traveling from Germany who like, that's the reason they kind of like find it stifling and a bit rigid.
Yeah, yeah. I did. I didn't really realize what I was doing at the time, but now looking back, I was just generally not very happy with the German lifestyle.
Mm.
Like everyone I knew was going straight to university and I was like, you know, I have an idea what I could study, but I don't want this pressure of, you know, having to study for, you study for longer as well, I think, like until you get into a job. So you spend anywhere between like 5 and what, if you do psychology or something, 12 years studying and then you're getting into the job and quite often realize, oh, this is not for me, but you're going to stick with that because you spent so much time.
Because I didn't do that. I did go away eventually, but that idea of just leaving and then do you live life kind of like
to
that?
Fullest?
I guess that too, but like, okay, why did you start comedy?
I started after doing improv for a bit and meeting a lot of comedians and thinking, oh, I could do that, but it's scary because I always loved performing, but performing doesn't scare me, but stand-up comedy scared me, so I thought I should do that.
Really?
Yeah.
So you actually went for the thing that scared you?
Yeah, yeah. That's like the main reason I did it because, you know, you if something scares you, it's like a good indication of like you probably should do it, unless it's like jumping off a cliff without, obviously, like there's limitations to it, but you know, trying things.
It's important to clarify. Yeah. Have you got other examples where you've done that? Like, I guess maybe coming to Australia.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Probably like it was a little bit scary when I made the decision to like properly like study here and like move here properly rather than just travel here. It was scary, but then also a lot of people said, "Oh, you won't be able to do that." So then I was like, "You watch me."
The old, "I'll show them," reason for living your life. I gotta love that. That is such a big decision. For "I'll show you." I love that. Watch me 12 years later. It's like she really committed to showing me. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Look, it wasn't the main reason, but like I did just have this like feeling that I wanted to live here that I couldn't really justify. And the same, I guess, similar with stand-up. Like I just thought, oh, I should try that. It's a bit scary. So I think it's similar.
No, definitely. Yeah. Like that attitude of like, yeah.
Which is like one of the reasons like why I like the book that I picked today. Is that
we've gone off.
Is that a nice segue?
Yes, it is a nice segue. And I'm interested because I actually don't know much about this book, so you're going to be informing me as well. Your book choice for today is?
It's The Happiest Refugee by Ando. So it's a memoir, his memoir. One of the things that I really liked about it is that he talks about his family a lot, and he has a very good, like a very sense of family, and that comes through very strongly. So yeah, I was just thinking of that. I really liked that.
So even though you're saying you didn't have that as much?
No, I just didn't have the same sense that, yeah, he describes, and like he talks about a lot about his family, obviously coming to Australia, being, you know, proper refugees coming to Australia in like the 1980s by boat.
In the 1980s?
Yep.
I didn't know they were still doing that.
I think they were, they didn't actually make it to Australia, but they were rescued and then I think went to Malaysia first.
Oh, that kind of boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so dumb. I'm so slow. Okay, that's what you meant. All right. So they were like what's called the happiest refugee. So
yeah. So they're proper refugees.
That makes sense. So to give a quick summary of it as well. So basically it's Ann Doe, which is a Australian comedian.
Yep.
He's slightly older now, obviously, but it's a memoir of his experience moving to Australia.
Yeah.
Escaping to Australia. Yep. From where was he from? Vietnam.
Okay. Yeah, he's from Vietnam.
With his family together?
Yeah.
They all came at the same time?
Yeah.
And he was a kid?
Yeah, he was 2 years old on the boat. And they got there was two different groups of pirates that picked up the boat and nearly didn't survive, but survived. And, like, I guess that's, you know, an intense, like, traumatic experience to start with. And then you read the book and what he's like. He's like he seems genuinely happy and then tells a story about being a comedian. And yeah, I thought it was very impressive.
Like what he could make of himself from that kind of beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, that's really nice. Yeah. Yeah. So why do you think that's your fave?
Yeah, it made a big impact on me because there was the start of the book where he describes, you know, fleeing Vietnam and a lot of the experiences are through his family members, obviously, because he was only 2 years old. But he describes all of that very heavy trauma and then is the person that he is now, which I think I can relate to because it's like in German history, there's a lot of trauma, but he's a very happy person. So I'd like to be like that. And then he seems genuinely happy, you know, there's like, yeah. Very, very, and a very impressive person, I think.
Right. So the big part of it you liked was his actual happy attitude, considering what had happened.
Yeah. And I did read this as well before I did comedy. So it's like now there's even more reasons why I could choose that book because obviously he was a stand-up comedian as well. But when I read it, I hadn't started doing comedy yet. I was just very drawn to it. And I can't really remember why I picked it. I would like to remember it, but just kind of picked it up one day and then, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because did you read a lot when you were, this is, I'm guessing, when you were up in Torres Strait Islands?
Yeah, probably not a lot. I But yeah, that's when I read it. So
yeah. Okay, and you just happened to pick that up, and then it gave you. Well, it sounds like it might have even started you off rethinking. Were you doing much performing and stuff when you were younger?
Yeah, I wasn't doing a lot, but I really loved it. Like, I loved theater at school. Like, performing arts was like my favorite. The one thing I thought I would want to study after school was acting, but then I kind of went to a couple acting schools and I thought, oh, this is so serious. I don't want to be this serious. But I did always love it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you maybe had a bit of a gap because you're guessing you didn't do any of that. Years have been tired straight or whatever, but then you started enjoying it again. And that might have been another reason why you picked it, because you knew did you know he was a comedian?
Yeah. It actually says at the front his journey to becoming one of Australia's most loved comedians. I'm like, I want to be that.
Well, that is formative, actually. Yeah, really. That's philosophical, or is it kind of just, is he meditating much on the stuff that happened to him and talking about that, or is it more just like talking about, you know, his life?
He talks about his life, but he does that also in a very, you know, you want to keep reading the book. I did want to keep reading the book. It's not just, you know, a retelling of everything that happened. But he talks about his family ties, which I think are, you know, very, I was drawn to, because that's such a beautiful thing to have that, you know, very close feeling with your family. And then he talks about studying law, meeting his wife, and I think finishing his law degree, because then he was in a job where he was meant to work 60 hours a week. And I don't know if this is a bit, but I'm going to go with it's true. He said he worked 4 hours and then he walked out because, yeah, he couldn't do it, and then decided to focus on stand-up.
Right. Yeah, you keep going on to mention this family thing, which is interesting to me, because, like, obviously you said yourself you didn't have that, but you liked reading about that.
Yeah.
Someone else having that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, I find, just because, like, obviously, did you feel like you were missing that, or did you want more of that yourself, or you just kind of find it interesting?
Yeah, no, I definitely missed that, and I always wanted that for myself. I can easily say my experience is German, but I don't really have any other family to compare it to, right? So for me, it's like my experience feels kind of German. You know, there's a lot of intergenerational trauma in families and in Europe in general, so it's very heavy. It's very hard to sometimes form really meaningful relationships with your family.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I see it. That's what it feels like for me.
Is that what it feels like for you? You feel like personally, or you look around at even your brother and sister and their interaction with your parents, and you see the same sort of thing?
Yeah, I think there's definitely like a lot of similar things, and I'm not sure if that's just like European like related, but I feel like our parents' generation, you know, they didn't have maybe access to therapy as much, so they had, you know, a lot of things that they never processed, and then kind of just, I guess, pass on to the next generation. That's just what happens, even with the best intentions.
That's literally all of human history.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine-washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new.
Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
So with the living, I guess, Ando with his story. By the way, I just have to mention this because I did look it up. That is a terrible book cover.
Yeah,
I feel like that is the worst. That is one of the worst book covers. No offense to Ando. I'm sure I actually want to read it. It sounds super interesting.
Yeah.
But sure, they could have done a better job than that. That is like, it looks like a an ebook cover from someone who's self-published. Like,
yeah, he won like prizes with this book. So don't go by the cover.
No, I just wanted to mention it just in case anyone sees it and goes, nah.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's fair. And also the what it says at the front, that wouldn't draw me in, you know, one of Australia's most loved comedians. I'm like, who gives out this title? How do I get it?
It's hilarious how I'm just not good that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a refugee boat and his face.
Yeah,
like,
it's not great, which is very interesting because he stopped focusing on stand-up comedy to do painting. So he obviously has like a visual mind, right? So
is that what he did?
Yeah, so he did like painting courses. He did a show where he would paint portraits and then talk to people. I should check that out. I haven't, but I read about it.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, the fact you read about it has some interest in it. Yeah. So it does talk about the idea of someone going to a new – so you have the family stuff, sounds like that hooked you, and the comedian stuff, which, again, I understand. What about the whole concept of like going to a new – I guess he would have been describing, again, I'm guessing, a sort of fish out of water life, like as in being – not completely part of Australian culture just because of his background and stuff. So trying to like merge those two. Is that something you've felt?
Yeah, before, I think a very different experience for me because he does talk about racism a little bit in his experience and his family's experience, and I haven't experienced that at all. So
you've not experienced it.
I also think that he's just too – it's very interesting to me. He just kind of describes these really heavy things and just – there's not a lot of judgment to it. Like, he just describes them and that's how they were. They weren't great. But I can kind of like just imagine his smiling face. You know, that's just what life's like. And
Your face is smiling right now as you say this, but this sounds so disturbing in a way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Look, maybe I didn't describe it well.
What you're saying is heavy moments of racism or bigotry or stuff.
Yeah.
The way he's saying it, it's kind of like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is funny.
I think that can be very unhealthy, and I'm probably trying to bring the point across that he doesn't seem that way. He seems like a genuinely like a person who has probably like processed that or made his peace with it. I'm not sure, but
yeah.
I really admire that because I think there's heavy stuff that takes a really long time to process. You know, the very traumatic events in your life.
For everyone.
You know, for a very long time. You know, you might be you want to be okay with it, but you're just not. He seems like a person that is just genuinely like, yep, this wasn't great, but I've lived through it and I've processed it. And it's obviously a big judgment, but that's what it seems like for me. And that's what I kind of took from it.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like denial. It seems like someone who's actually put in the work to deal with it and then get past it, essentially.
Yeah. And I think there is another reason I really like that. I've sometimes noticed that comedians will kind of, and Hannah Gatsby talks about this in her special as well, you know, to talk about traumatic or negative experiences and joke about it before they process, you know, how it's actually a traumatic thing. So you take away the step of like, oh, this actually really sucks. And then afterwards you can joke about it. But because talking about something that is really heavy, you know, will give some kind of relief. So a lot of people just jump, you know, oh, I'll just make a joke about it and then it's fine. And yeah, I really don't know. Not that doesn't sit well with me.
Doesn't sit well with you to do, but do you do it?
I don't think I do, no, because there's a lot of topics that I think would one day give a lot of material, but I definitely don't write jokes about. So
that is a definitely your call to do that sort of stuff. Like, yeah. I don't know the degree of the stuff you're talking about. And I want to go, it sounds like I don't want to. That's for the stage, baby. That's for my solo show. This is 2023, Maren's trauma. I hope I can really say that joke. No, you're definitely on the money there, like in terms of the processing stuff, which is, I think everyone's doing it a bit more now. I mean, you're seeing it more post corona.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone's like, when I started gigging again, I was like, oh wow, a lot of people are talking about their therapy.
Yeah.
And here's mine.
Yeah. It's true. And I don't think that's not something that you shouldn't talk about. And really, you only will know yourself if you're ready to joke about it or not. Mm. Sometimes I feel like if the audience or listening, you can tell if that person has processed it or not. I'm not saying don't talk about heavy stuff. But for myself, I want to make sure I don't, take that step away of processing it and being sad about it. Mm. And then I want to write like real cracker jokes about it, but you have to have the middle part.
You're actually describing a pretty funny feature of comedy, which people might not realize, which is that like there'll be comedians going around being like, oh, this is so good, but I got to get better first. And then this piece of trauma here is going to be so juicy.
Yep, that's what I mean. And that's great. That's going to make it interesting. But
oh, it's pretty fun. Just planning it. You're like, not good enough for this, but it's going to be good when I get yep. there. No, I know. I 100% agree.
2023 is probably optimistic.
Yeah. All right. 2025. So you go to therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Like weekly sort of stuff. Yeah.
Fortnightly, but it depends on the time. I feel like it just makes sense to, you go through periods of your life where you need it more. So you go weekly and then, you work through the chunk of it through the thick of it and then you can maybe go a bit less.
This just feels so strange because you're so happy and smiling through all of this. I feel like I can see why you vibed with Arne Doe in that
really?
Sense as well. Like, you're always like happy and smiling like that, I guess. Is that so I guess, and you focus on the processing of stuff before trying to get there. And you're saying you don't do it. So when you say you don't, and again, tell me if this is going too far, but like maybe you don't make a joke about it, but do you maybe not, you find it hard to let someone know the seriousness of something sometimes, maybe like as in a defense mechanism of, ha ha ha, yeah, that doesn't, I'm not affected by that. Ha ha, you're so funny. But actually inside you're like fuming at like something or like upset. But instead of making a scene, you're just like, ha, 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 yeah. No. Do you feel like you do that maybe?
I don't think I do that. I think that sometimes what I think about quite a bit is that I have a lot of heavy topics to talk about, even with my friends, and I always feel like, oh, this is too heavy. Like, let's not, like, wowie, like, turn it down a bit. I do think about that a lot.
I mean, that just sounds like almost the same thing.
Oh, really?
Well, no, it does sound different, but that's interesting. So you just don't even like, because you can engage with the topic and you don't have to be like super intense either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be like, guys, we're going to talk about this now. But you can't be like, hey, this is something that happened to me.
I would never do that.
So in other words, you just avoid any topic that doesn't make you laugh.
No, I do. I do talk about it, but I guess like I've gotten very used to checking in with my friends. It's like, hey, this is this thing that's quite heavy I want to talk about. Is that okay with you?
Mm.
But I do feel like I want to talk about heavy stuff. When I'm not laughing, I probably want to talk about heavy stuff all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is sounding complicated. But again, it makes sense with your liking of the Happiest Refugee Arne Doe thing, because that's obviously him dealing with, he's almost the golden child of what you would want in a way, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Put that on.
Yeah.
I just realized how
once again, Australians' most loved comedian.
The big smile on his face. Who needs a good book cover when you're the most loved comedian?
Maybe I should just write a book and then just put that on the cover and people are like, who's this?
You're going to be Australia's most loved German comedian. You can try. That's at least. People will be like, what? This sentence is very confusing to me.
Yeah.
Do you like fiction or nonfiction more?
At the moment, I do love memoirs a lot. So, which is, another reason I picked this one. I've read a few memoirs.
Is there a difference between memoirs and like autobiographies?
Yeah, there is. A memoir is not so much focused on the telling of the story. Like an audiobiography is very more structured, as in like this happened and this happened, this happened. And memoir is more like, you know, the structure might be different and it's more the person like, oh, this is what this felt like and this is what this felt like.
So it's actually, it's more focusing on a certain aspect of a life.
Yep.
Rather than like, I was born here, grew up there, da-da-da. It's focus. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I feel like you said it like it's probably written in a dictionary and I've said it like someone who once like looked at the dictionary from a distance. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's what a memoir is.
I'm just taking what you're I'm just following your lead. I'm just making this up.
Yeah, no, you just said it in much better words. So.
Well, look, I do read a lot of books. So, you know, I mean, I'm very good with my words.
Yeah.
With my first language, that's your second. Although at this point, is your German still better or is your English better now?
It's both not great, but German comes back. If I go back to Germany, you know, it takes like a couple of days and it's back. Although not good enough for my – now that's something that my siblings do tease me about, my German.
Really?
Yep.
Is that because you got an accent?
Yeah, they do think I have an Australian accent, which is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also make fun of me for like very minor grammatical errors, you know.
I like how you've gone out of your way to establish on the podcast that they are very minor, okay? It is very unreasonable for them to be pointing it out because they're very minor. I just want everyone to know. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
So the memoirs?
What?
Memoirs? Is that?
Yes, it was. Yes, the nonfiction thing. Yeah, yeah. Because I was going to say the reason I ask about the memoirs is to know the standard. Like, so you've read a few of them. So it's like, it's always good when you know, it's like, oh, I've read a few and this one's probably the best one of ones.
Yeah.
Adds a bit more street cred. Not that you're allowed to like whatever you like. I'm just interested in the depth of what.
Yeah, no, but I need that street cred. That's, you know, just because I read, but I take a very long time to finish a book. So
is that because you get distracted?
Yeah, I get distracted.
Do you read or do you audiobook?
No, I read. I can't do audiobook because I need something visual. If someone's just talking, then I'm like drifting off somewhere else. I need to,
You need someone in front of you.
Yeah.
Or, you need a book that engages you.
Yeah.
How are you with movies?
Great, they're so visual.
Okay, that's, I'm just checking. Okay, so you need something engaging the visual part of your brain, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a weirdly specific thing. Okay, yeah. You did mention, so music as well. Do you listen to music?
Yeah, but that's, that's different. Quite often you kind of think about something else and the music is in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very few people do the thing you see kids did in the 70s and stuff where it's like lie back on your bed and chuck on a record.
Yeah. I do actually do that too.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah. I really love that.
But I've only ever done that like 3 times. And really? I loved it every time.
Yeah.
But it's like just so weird because you could do something else.
Yeah. But I find that that's really quality time where maybe I should try again with an audiobook one day, you know, but then I'm just like, now I'm, you know, learning. I don't want to learn. I just want to listen to music.
Well, no, I mean, that's fair enough. And music obviously has a lot of different things to it. Firstly, it's far more emotional, like in terms of it's hitting more than just your brain. You know what I mean? It's hitting the feelings and stuff. So I totally understand that. And it's shorter as well. It's a few minutes rather than like sitting there with something listening to it. Okay, so it has to be a book.
Yeah.
You have to read it.
Yeah. But I mean, where I'm coming from is like, you know, when you find out how you learn the best, if you like learn by someone explaining it or if you learn by reading it, I always thought that I learn best by reading it. So I think that would make sense that I can't take in information as easily if it's just spoken.
Have you ever had someone read to you?
No, I definitely want that happen.
You want that?
Yeah.
Okay. So
who does that?
Between you and me, I had a friend over COVID times, with his girlfriend, he would read to her, like at night, he would call her and read her.
That's amazing.
A story, yeah. I was like, that is the lamest stuff.
I want that so
you
bad.
You goddamn loser.
Is that just jealousy now?
Nah, maybe. I don't know. I don't care about figuring out my emotions. That's your thing.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds amazing. I can't believe I hadn't even thought of that as an idea in life, you know.
I guess it could be a sort of a sexy thing, I guess.
Yeah,
sexy time.
Sounds super sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll raise it with someone one time. It's yeah. Just, but I actually, I'd be like, yeah, but I want to read faster.
Oh, really?
Nah, I'd get into it. That's the thing. I'd because of audiobooks, especially, you hear ones who are like, get really into it, and they're just like really explosive in the way they describe everything. So yeah, I'd be feeling a lot of pressure actually to lift my game.
Yeah.
Especially as like a performer. I'd be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. I think that's why it's so interesting, because they even when, I guess like audiobooks, if you like the book, but you don't like the person reading it, that's just going to ruin it, isn't it? It's kind of, yeah.
I don't know how much beef you got with random narrators. They just mean the sound of their voice, right?
Yeah, I just feel really strongly about voices.
Oh, really? Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I guess we could go with the only other one, I guess, if we want to talk about it, is so the refugee side of things was the political, like running away from that stuff. I guess on that note, and it's probably the last part I want to talk about, is does Arne Doe and his book talk about anything like that?
No, very little. Like, yeah, I did read a little bit about the Vietnam War, which I knew very little about, and now I know a little bit more, still very little. Mm. But yeah, he's not very political, I think, in the book.
Right. But in terms of the personal, does he talk about like needing to go get psychological assistance? Does he talk about anything to do with that or not?
No,
really?
He doesn't. No. Yeah. It's actually quite interesting there, because I, you know, from my experience, I feel like if you've gone through something so traumatic, it's very helpful to go through therapy and, you know, have the help from someone
to help you deal with it.
Yeah. Mm. But he doesn't really talk about that.
It's the 80s, baby. You don't need that stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of people then, he's now in his 40s, and that's, I think, this maybe once you're in your 40s and you've never dealt with your trauma, you start to become really, really weird. You can ignore it for so long, but then you just...
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you are QAnon fan. Yeah, yeah,
and then 50s, like, what is happening with this person?
Yeah, that's 60s, when they got the rails. What? Yeah. It just gets worse and worse. Which is, by the way, everyone.
Yeah. Until, I mean, that's true, but... Yeah, hopefully, like, you get, you know, a bit odd and quirky, you know, like cute little quirky old people, not like old people with heaps of trauma that they've never.
That's all old people. I got to be honest.
Yeah, like, really?
Oh, yeah, undiagnosed trauma. That's our whole thing. We're human beings. Who wants to deal with that stuff? Eventually, all it is, you know what it is? Actually, new theory. You know what it is? Like you said, you got to always be going to therapy. Eventually, everyone's like, ah, fuck it. I'm just going to let it pile on now. I'm sick of doing the work.
Yeah, I can feel that. Like, I've definitely thought that many times.
Yeah. Well, look, at least then you've got your guiding light in Ando. He's fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess that's kind of everything. I do like to ask, did you feel like from this conversation you've got any new connections between you and the book?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, definitely. I think probably preparing for this chat and also chatting the chat, I've realized why I do like it so much. So the family ties, that wasn't so – I wasn't quite that aware of it, that's what kind of drew me to it.
Yeah, it's interesting that again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's like it seems like a very, you know, such a different culture, like Vietnamese culture. It just sounds so warm and welcoming and not like German. Yeah, I can only, you know, talk from my own experience. There's lots of very warm German families, surely. Where are they?
Come has turned into a racist spiel against the German people. Okay. This is not where I wanted it to go. Cool. Well, I'm glad you've learned to appreciate something some more. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Mm-hmm. As the day winds down, don't let allergies disrupt your night. Add Aspire Allergy and Sinus. We're here to bring you peace and relief. Our expert team offers personalized allergy testing and advanced treatments so you can enjoy restful nights free from the struggles of congestion and discomfort. Make the evenings yours again. Visit AspireAllergy.com to schedule an appointment and experience a life where every breath is serene. Breathe easy. Sleep better. Aspire Allergy, your pathway to peaceful nights and brighter mornings. AspireAllergy.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.